Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We are going to jump into a conversation, a short conversation here, but an important one, about Venezuela and about the death of Chavez, what comes next, and what his legacy and legacy really means, and what this divide is around that nation and the whole question of this Bolivarian revolution that has taken place in parts of Latin America. We are joined by George Chicarillo Mar, who is a professor of history professor in the History and Politics Department at Drexel University, author of the forthcoming book, We Created Chavez, A People's History of the Bolivarian Revolution. Dr. Margarita Lopez Maya is professor titular at the Center for Developmental Studies at the Central University of Venezuela. And folks, welcome. Good to have both of you with us. Thank you.
Okay. Hello. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this. I mean, as soon as Chavez passed away, the kind of right leapt on the right wing in America leapt on Chavez as a demagogue. We're glad he's dead. But whenever anybody kind of jumps in either direction like that, the nuances and what the reality is are very different. So there are issues here. Well, let me just very quickly ask both of you to describe, and start with you, Dr. Margarita Lopez Maya, before we go to Dr. Chicarillo Mar, to describe what you think the Venezuelan revolution and state is about. What does it represent, and to, you think, the Venezuelan people and to the rest of the world?
Well, the Bolivarian Revolution represented different things depending on the years in which we are looking at. At the beginning, it represented the possibility of deepening democracy through participative innovations and a new state that would be more participative and more inclusive. But in its second period, in its second administration, it meant going into a model that Chavez had in his head and that he called socialism of the 21st century. At the end of the story, what is left of that Bolivarian Revolution, I think, is the idea that, as a positive legacy, I would say, is that the Chavismo has put poverty as the main priority of the country, and I think this is something that wasn't there when he first got into power, and that today it is not only in Venezuela. All politicians, be them Chavistas or be them not Chavistas, put the priority of the country in the combat of poverty. And I think it also, most of the governments in Latin America, too, because before it would be, at the end of the 20th century, people talked about the economy, about producing, and there was great disregard for this deficit that Latin America has. Latin America is the most unequal continent in the world, and we have very big social problems of inequality, of racism, and I think that is being addressed today by practically all the governments in Latin America, and I think the Venezuela and President Chavez began that movement towards this priority.
So
the awareness of this priority.
So just in the interest of time, let me turn for a moment to the thoughts of George Chicarillo Mar.
I think I agree with Professor Lopez Maya that it depends on the period that we're talking about, although I think I evaluate those periods very differently. I think the first thing the Chavez government did was precisely to deal with these social questions and to massively improve the social welfare of the poorest Venezuelans in all of these terms that she explained, but it's only in the second period, I think, that the project of participatory democracy really got underway, and with all the imperfections and tensions that it entailed. But it was only in the past few years that we've really seen an effort to develop and to establish what's called popular power from below, or communal power through participatory assemblies, communal councils, and all these institutions that are struggling for a place within the Bolivarian Revolution, but I think in the long run will be an even more, or should be an even more important legacy of that revolution than the social gains for the poor.
So let me ask you both this question. Just in the interest of time, we have about 8 or 9 minutes in this segment, and I want to, we'll come back to this in a longer discussion in the future, but I really want to get this on the table today very quickly. I mean, let's just look at Venezuela right now. Here's part of the debate. Has Venezuela reduced poverty and improved the economy or not under the elected Chavez government. And again, let's say, and if you can keep your answers kind of focused to that, because we only have, like, as I said, about 8 minutes left here. Dr. Maya, why don't you start, then we'll go to Dr. Shekari Yomar.
Okay, I will tell you the following. It has been reduced by half, but the poverty as a structural problem in Venezuela has not been resolved. What has been doing is a better distribution of oil income, of oil rents that come from the international market. But nothing has been done in the economy different from what was done by the administrations before Chavez. On the contrary, there is an exacerbation of the dependency of Venezuela on its oil in the international market. So I think that, but the legacy, the main legacy is more what he said and what he tried to do than what he did. And I think that we are in a very difficult economic problems, disadjustments today in Venezuela that are going to show out more sooner than later.
Dr. Chikiri Omar?
Sure. I don't necessarily disagree with that in the sense that much of the improvement in social welfare has been a result of the, in many ways, unprecedentedly high oil prices. But I think it has been more than merely a question of redistribution, despite the fact that there is much, much more to do. The difficulty is that when you have, on the one hand, when you have oil to begin with, and when the prices are so high, there are so many disincentives to actually establishing the sorts of economic structures that you need for sustainability in case those prices drop. It's much easier to rely on these very high prices. And so while I think there has been an effort to diversify the economy, this is the historic challenge of dependent economies, and it's far from a completed task. There needs to be much more done in that direction, certainly.
But as we look at the Venezuela and the kind of revolution via democracy that's happened there with the elections, clearly he won the election. His party won the election. Why do you think it's so threatening to the United States of America and in the West, even though there are all the major oil companies are invested in and working with his government? And is this a wave of the future, or is this just kind of a populist revolt that has no staying power? Let me this time start with Dr. Chikari Omar.
Sure. I think the threat comes precisely from the fact that the importance of Chavez and the importance of this Bolivarian revolution needs to be understood in historical terms and in international terms. Historically, and this gets to the second question, historically this is not just a throwback to the 1930s and 40s, as some people would like to frame it. It's precisely a response historically to the neoliberal period of the 1980s, and it was the rebellion in 1989, the Caracaso, the resistance to the neoliberal reform package, which was the primary motivator in bringing someone like Chavez to power. And so understanding this in historic terms, we have a wave of anti-neoliberal governments across the globe, and especially in Latin America, and governments that emerged out of resistance to this pattern of neoliberalism. And the danger precisely to the United States is that the Venezuelan government provided a sort of a blueprint in some ways and an inspiration in others to how this might be carried out.
Dr. Lopez Maya?
I am very sorry, but I haven't been able to understand the question. The voice comes back and forth, and I didn't understand what the question was.
I'm sorry. The question, very simply, we have about 4 minutes. Why is this revolution through the democracy such a threat to the rest of the world? And is this just a flash in the pan, or is this some major of movement for change in the future? Or are we missing something?
Oh, well, I see. Well, I'm not that sure that it's such a threat. I think at the beginning, at the end of the 20th century, it was more a menace because it went against neoliberalism. I think the other person has been talking about that. But I think today, today most of the nations have gone their own way, are dealing with their own economies in a much better way than Venezuela. And everybody is more or less convinced that what has happened in Venezuela cannot be repeated anywhere else, because this is an oil country. This is a petrol state that has been spending money like a millionaire, doing missions and social policies very, very expensive, and not addressing the structural problems of the country. Sooner or later, I will repeat that again, the country is going to be in great difficulties, and hope let's hope that it does not go into poverty, because really the spending these years has been tremendous, but the investment, the real investment in good employment, the real investment in a productive economy has not happened.
So,
I don't think it's really, it's Marlo, it's not a menace to anybody.
And again, George Chikorio, Mayor, why don't you just, we have about a minute and a half. I wish you would take that and have your response.
Yes, I mean, I think that this is the interesting part about Chavez in his rise to power was that he was not actually establishing much of a threat to either domestic Venezuelan elites or to the United States before he was attacked by them. And so that's what's so interesting about the dynamic. And it certainly leaves something to be explained why this person who came to power as a moderate was then savagely attacked by the U.S. and attacked by the Venezuelan elites and overthrown briefly in 2002. But the outcome of that process is that that's part of what drove him to become a much more radical leader. The indication, the clearest indication that even the smallest reforms were going to be met by hostility led him to believe that such reforms were impossible without a total restructuration of the political system.
This has been interesting. I hope you both will come back and join us for longer segments. That we just talked to Dr. George Chikorio Mar, who is professor of history in the History and Politics Department at Drexel University, author of the forthcoming book, which we look forward to reading, We Created Chavez, A People's History of the Bolivarian Revolution, and Dr. Margarita Lopez Maya, who is professor titular at the Center for Development Studies at the Central University of Venezuela. Thank you both so much for taking your time. Look forward to talking to you both again.
Yes, thank you very much.
We're going to take a very brief break, and when we come back, we are going to look at the horrendous murder that took place in Chicago, and the murders in Chicago, talking to folks there and here, but also the murders here in Baltimore. And we'll talk about both cities and talk about what the sociopathology is of the murders taking place. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Don't go away.